Hi everyone, welcome to 5,000 Miles with Ray and Ash, aka Rail News and Into the River Combo. Hope everybody's doing good. I want to do a quick update on Into the River. I do have a couple guests lined up. You know how it is with just busy, busy lives. So expect some new episodes the next couple weeks. But until then, I'm so happy that we have ours because I have come to need these so much.
Yes, I totally agree. Like, we just had probably an hour chat before we started just to catch up. And we're like, okay, maybe we should podcast now.
I know, it's so nice. I don't really know the difference between our, I guess the beforehand is more personal stuff. And then the public, we have some private things, but yeah. So how's your week been overall? We kind of just shared all of that with each other, but just in general.
Well,
since what, did 3 days ago?
Yeah, not so long ago. Did you want to tell everyone about guests though?
Or I just said that was it. I just have some upcoming guests just so that they can know to expect some new stuff on the horizon.
I thought you were gonna tell us who it was, and I was like, ooh, is it?
No, I've learned not to do that. There's cancellations sometimes in busy lives, so I don't say who, but I do have a couple people lined up, so I'll just say that much.
That sounds pretty good. I like that. Yeah. Awesome. So my week, were we talking about my week? Good things. I mean, this was like 3 days ago and we ended up talking for 3 hours. So
nothing's really happened. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of much. I know that I'm going to be drawing the light topic, the first topic. So if anybody new is listening to the pod, we draw two topics and we have no idea what they are. And we talk about them. And the last episode was quite hilarious when we got the first topic of furries, which came from Ashley's hat. Was not expecting that at all. And then I think we just I have these little pieces of paper now on my desk from like where we feel like, nah, I don't want to do that one. Nah, I don't want to do that one. Let's just move on to the next one. And we ended up with the afterlife, which was really good. And Gabe was a guest on that show. So that was super enjoyable. I ended up staying up really late, but I just did not care. Yeah, I just didn't care. I loved talking to you both.
It was honestly a lot of fun. I want to share a comment from our last episode. I thought it was kind of funny. I learned a couple things after the comment, but someone said, let's see here. They asked where you're from. And I told her where you're from. And she said, I would definitely love to have you guys in my tribe. It's lonely trying to tell people these things as most don't want to know. But I agree that if they don't know what their local politicians are up to and how corrupt they are, there's no way to listen to Illuminati chat. Start small. I had my last account deleted off the face of the earth for talking about FDA and Ivor. Drug. So I need to be careful now. Which furry would I be? None. It's fucking ridiculous. And these people need to get a grip. Each their own, but no. P.S. Ducks are rapey too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, do you know what? It's kind of nice to hear that because I think maybe that's what we should have said. We've been like, really, furries. But we just went with it and we were like, okay, so if we were a little bit weird for a while, what would what would we do?
Yeah, totally, but hypothetical. No, that is not something I could ever see myself doing, but I had a really fun time putting myself in the shoes of someone that might briefly.
Yeah.
But that. Ducks, that didn't know about though. Ducks, did not know ducks were rapey. I have a story about ducks though. I was at a park in Nashville when I lived there once, and there was like this little lake and there was a duck that was getting attacked by all these other ducks. And it was like the most horrible thing I've ever seen in like the animal world. So all these other ducks were in the water, pecking at it, pulling out its feathers, trying to drown it. And I was completely traumatized. I had no idea what was going on. The duck finally got out of the pond and all the other ducks started chasing it around. And I stood in between it and them and it like hid in a bush. And it was an insane experience. And I talked to a couple of people that said ducks are very violent from time. So I'm not surprised that they're rapey. Well, I did the best I could, you know, I like kind of got it away from the other ducks, but it was horrific. They were trying to kill this duck. which I know a lot of things go down in the animal world, but like that was pretty messed up.
Duck must have been a anti-vaxxer, I guess.
It was a Trump supporter.
Well, do you know, I was just thinking, like, that's what our life must feel like. Like
sometimes.
Just, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's nice to know that it happens in the duck world. Maybe we could have, like, made a little miniature Trump hat for it. And then, like, off you go.
Little MAGA duck. We got you, buddy.
Oh, I love that so much. That would, yeah. Well, I've not ever seen that before. I know that geese are really like violent, like, and swans.
Really?
Swans are really violent. Mm-hmm. And Zill, my doggo there that's asleep, he loves to chase them. And then as soon as they go crazy at him, he's like, Mom, save me. And I'm like, I'm not saving you from those things. It's fucking horrible. It's the worst. Oh, but yeah, what about you? Have you got anything else that you want to share with us?
Since our talk, I will just say that I felt much better. I feel like I'm still kind of I feel like our talk was really positive and I've had some really good feedback from it in DMs and stuff. And it just helped me to kind of get out of that phase of what I was dealing with. So that's good. And yeah, I'm just trying to keep myself in a good space and mm-hmm. I feel better in the last 3 days. So I'm happy with that. I'm feeling a little calm and yeah, I'm noticing the news come in and I'm practicing this thing of just trying to like whatever my immediate feeling or response is, I'm trying to just sit with it for a little bit and think like before I do anything with that information. I'm trying to look at things a little more inquisitive than just reactionary. Like there was something recently that happened. Oh, Alyssa Milano was arrested. She announced on Twitter she was arrested for protesting for voter rights, which is hilarious because she wants less voter rights. She basically wants more ability to cheat and less security for the actual voters. So anyway, she announced that she got arrested and I saw it. I'm like, well, she announced it. So she obviously wants it to be known. Seems like a signal, some kind of a virtuous signal. I imagined a lot of conservatives would jump on and be like, ha ha, you got arrested. And then, mm-hmm. then some negative thing would come of it. And I'm just kind of taking more of a step back in these moments and being like, I feel like this is all set up. Like half, I would say 95% of the shit that comes down on the news or Twitter or whatever is most likely actors and actresses mm-hmm. playing out something, trying to get us to be manipulated into a response. So I'm really kind of in the space of moving forward. I really hope to become way more in control of not just my emotions, but use a lot more critical thinking than I have been, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
In the way I look at the world.
No. Yeah, it makes total sense. And like, as long as you like, so it's very easy to be emotionally manipulated by the things that we see anywhere. Like even if it's the community that we're in, but when it comes to like the narrative that's being spun and the media and the people that we talk about every day and the people that are causing these problems, like you say, if you just sit and you zoom out and you think what is trying to be forced here out of me, mm-hmm. which is basically your energy, that's why they do it.
Yep.
I like the best thing that I always remind myself of is like everything is energy harvesting. And if you're giving away that power, then they've won. So yeah. There's like really cool meme or that quote that's like, every time you smile, a reptile gets upset, like, or is sad. So just think about that because they're not taking it away, but it's true. Like they want us to live at such a low vibration. Mm-hmm. Like they want us living in fear and the obviously the biggest, I guess, fight back or retaliation that we can give is not our anger, but us not caring. Well, not not caring, but us not responding in the way that they would want us to respond. Mm-hmm. But instead being like, I see what you're doing and turn around and walk away. I'm not doing that. Exactly. You know?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing is you're absolutely right. And remember how I was telling you and Gabe that I felt like I was in a loop. Like, and it's funny because he is actually coming on my podcast. I could have mentioned him. The other ones, I'm not sure if they'll be able to make it, but I'm pretty confident he'll be on tomorrow. So I'm excited for that. But he asked like if we could go more into that topic, and I actually wanted to, but I was thinking about it, like, why is it a loop? And I'll just say that, like, it's almost like you feel like a product of an algorithm, you know? Like, I felt like I was getting like pulled into this algorithmic world. Like, everything was like, oh, we know what you want here, we know what you're going to do there. And I felt that I was pretty much following the breadcrumbs they were giving me. Like, I was in sync with the algorithm created for me. And that's how I felt like I was in a loop. I was like, I feel like an NPC. Like, I'm just like a non-player character in this video game. And I feel like I'm just stuck and like walking in circles. Like, I'm just here to be in the background. And I'm like, oh, it felt so gross. And like, the only answer I could come up with as to how to get out of that loop is to be an anomaly. Like, cause in their algorithms, they can't anticipate the anomalies. They can't anticipate the fact that human beings can be unpredictable and have free will and step outside of that. And so I feel like very excited about this idea. Like, the best thing we can do is the least predictable thing. And so I'm just trying to be less predictable. And I'm like, those natural tendencies I have they're like those rote responses you learn about in psychology, like that you keep doing these habitual things that it puts like basically these, I don't know if it's neural pathways in your brain, that it forges these really strong tendencies that you don't even think about because it's just become a habit and triggered responses. And I'm like, I think I felt like I was stuck in that. And so I'm ready to break free of that in as many possible ways as I can, you know?
I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love it. I love how you worded it as well, with like the algorithm and feeling like that and reacting to things in a way that, and then you're like, shit, I really am just floating along, like just coasting along on this ride. Like, hey, I'm gonna hit the big red button and be like, no, fuck off. I want off and I'm gonna do something different.
Want off this ride. Like, I felt like I was in control of nothing and I was just doing everything I was expected to do, and I was like, ew, this feels gross. Like, change it up.
People really fucking hate people who are not predictable.
They do.
Like,
oh yeah.
They get easily triggered. They get confused because they can't read you properly. Because if we think about it like that, everybody is programmed to believe that people will react a certain way to different situations. So it's a little bit like what I was talking to you about before we started. The fact that I don't retaliate to people who try and get a reaction out of me really pisses them off because all they've ever known is reaction responses, just like the media do for people. And the news do when you open the newspaper. So if you don't respond, you just can just see them like bubble up and burn. Like, why is this person not getting pissed off?
That's a really good point. And I was telling Nico that the other day. I was very frustrated with some of our friends, that just because the dynamic of the relationships changed or whatever. And I could sense it. I could feel it. And there's like no actual physical proof where I could be like, here's the thing. But you know, in your intuition, you know, in your gut that you're the product of many backroom conversations. And you're just aware of those things if you're an intuitive being. But I tell him sometimes, like, I just want to say something and be honest and be like, what the fuck, dude? Like, we didn't change. We just like, we're, you know, politically whatever, but who we were didn't change. Well, you know, like, why the fuck are you acting like we're these different people now? And I was like, but the second you say that, I have this very strong sense that that's what they're waiting for. Like that moment. And I'm like, for some reason, normally I'm all about calling things out to their face, but these people aren't doing it with me or with him. So it's like, I know that it's expected that I become that person and then they can latch onto that. And for some reason, my gut is just telling me, just don't respond. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's weird because it's like this awkward elephant in the room, but something is like, every time that I've talked to someone this year, it's like, they'll let me know, oh, I don't want to talk about politics or whatever, but then so far into the conversation, they make sure they keep bringing it up, mm-hmm. like basically baiting me to talk about it. And I like let it go. And then finally I'll be like, well, technically that's not accurate. And then they're like, I don't want to talk about this. And then I get the blow up moment that they needed an excuse to have. It's like, so they basically have told me,
gaslighting.
We want you to listen to our strong opinions mm-hmm. and say nothing. And the second I say something, then they love that they get to finally call me crazy, the thing that they've been thinking for so long, but they have permission now to say it in their mind. And so I've learned that enough this year to where like, I can't bring up any, except for with my best friend. He's the only one that I can have deep conversations with, and we disagree on a lot, but everyone else has just proven to me that they can't wait to blow up on me. So I'm like, shit, I don't know why I went on that tangent, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, you're saying people expecting you to do something. And so, dude, yeah, there's something to say, be said about being quiet in relationships.
So many people will relate to what you've just said, like hugely. And even me, like with, especially the vax talk, I'll find that people will have conversations about it and they'll be looking at me and they'll be looking over and I'm keeping quiet.
They want it so bad. They want you to be the crazy person that the news tells them like, that you are.
Red, what do you think? And I'm like, I knew how long you should have just asked me at the start, like, why did you wait so long? Like, you want my opinion, and then you give it, and they're like, oh, no, that can't be true. And all
we just wanted like, to okay, call you well. Crazy.
Thank you guys. Cheers. So
funny. I know.
At least it happens to most of us. And like I say, so many people I think will relate to that. And I think it's really good to point that out, because a lot of people will be sat in that situation and not even recognize that that's happening, that dynamic that's going on is happening. They'll probably just be like, oh, you know, I'm going to get asked this question. No, actually watch people, watch the behavior, watch them looking at you, watch them wait for you know, to ask the question.
Yeah.
And then just be like, I don't really want to talk about it today. Can we talk about something
else?
Absolutely. Weather.
Exactly. Just, I think it's best to just avoid at all costs, but yeah, just stop. I mean, stop giving into this, what is expected of you thing. And these emotional creatures, when we master, which I'm not even close to there, but when we do start to master our emotions and the time that we do speak and the times that we don't, it's really a powerful thing. It's a really mm-hmm. powerful thing to not be the person to throw ourselves out there all the time.
100%. You know? What an awesome way to start. Like,
yeah,
we are dropping some nuggets. We are dropping some nuggets lately, I have to say.
I love it, even though
we're just talking from the heart, you know?
Weekly therapy with Ray and Ash, where we work through all of our shit and hopefully other people agree.
5,000 nuggets of therapy. No, probably not. Then we should just change it to that. Yeah, we're just working through it too. So I'm doing the light topic today, which means that it's just probably a word or a small question. And we're not going to get fairies, that's for sure. So I'm going to pick a topic, even though it was really funny. I really enjoyed that one.
It was perfect in that moment. I really needed to laugh. Oh my God. That was a rough week.
I love how Gabe was like, I can't choose. I can't choose. I'll be a lion.
Like, of course all right, he is. I thought, oh, guy's going to pick a wolf or a lion.
Oh, we've done that one. I don't know why that's still in there. That was trophy hunting. We've done trophy hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one where I had sound problems. Maybe. I can't remember.
Who knows?
Maybe. I think this is a long one. Feels like a long one. Oh, this is cute. Okay. What was your favorite school subject?
Oh, that's fun. I like that. Mine was math.
Really?
I loved it. I don't know why. Okay,
Don't tell me. Huh? It's the reason, which is because there's always a truthful answer or whatever it is.
It was not that deep.
Oh, okay.
There's
always a correct answer.
I don't know. I think that I liked, if I like were to be psychological about it, I guess I would say it was something that remained the same. So like math, I was pretty advanced. Like I think by sixth grade I was in algebra, and I think so. And I ended up I was at a really good private school like at sixth grade, I went public school. And then I think we talked about public private and then private school in sixth grade, and the education was just far superior. And then I went to a public school in junior high, and that was like seventh and eighth grade. So they didn't have a class as advanced as I was in math because the private school was so clever. Good. Well, it was just the school was better that I went to before. So I used to be so nerdy that I would sit at home by myself and make math problems and do them for fun.
Oh my God, that's the cutest thing.
Like algebra. That's I don't know. It was just one of those things that I don't know why all the other classes I didn't pay attention to. I didn't learn shit. I was really bad in school, but math, it was like, I knew I had to pay attention. I couldn't miss a problem, and it kept me like really, really involved. And then I just loved it, and I forgot everything that I learned. So not so much anymore, but I love math.
That's really interesting though. You must have been like a really cool math, like proper mathematician in a past life or something. Because I always think like my dad loved maths. Like he was like me, the class clown at school, the naughty kid at school, but he loved maths. Like that was one of his favorite. It was always his favorite. We call him Stato, like, because he can still do like really good maths in his head without needing any help,
like, but quick math.
Have you seen how the way that people do maths now, that we call it maths here, you call it math? Okay, we'll call it math.
wait, what am I doing wrong? What do you say?
Maths.
Maths. And so, okay.
Maths.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Well, it comes from the word arithmetic.
Oh, okay.
So math. Ooh. So I don't know why you guys say it. I think you're saying it wrong.
Probably. We don't know. We can't speak here, so that makes sense.
I'm kidding.
Where was I at? So.
Your favorite topic?
Where I was going. Oh, okay. I was just saying how weird they have kids doing math now on like how they do show you're working out. So like answer the question, then show how you worked it out. And the way that they do it now is just like so long-winded and stupid, and it makes no sense. And then you're like, well, kids all have phones now, so they may as well just get their phone out and use it as, you know, calculator. So, but even so, like, it's weird because the way that my parents did math when they taught me was they got frustrated with how I was told to do it. And now if you look at it, the parents now are frustrated with how the kids are taught to do it. So it's just funny how it's got like more complicated in terms of how to work things out. It might be a UK thing.
No,
but
I have to say something about that. So this is like my grandfather. I remember when I was in school, we live with my grandparents for a little while. And I remember asking him a question about math, and he was really smart. And he showed me how to do it and showed me, and he got the answer. Well, when I took it back to school, the answer was right, but the teacher was like, that's not the way you do it. Which to this day is like, when I think back on it, is really fucked up, because kids learn in so many different ways that they need to, there's a million ways to come to a solution. And instead of teaching like whatever way works best for your brain, which my grandpa he explained it in a more holistic way where I understood why we got to the answer, not just this equation. He showed me like with a left brain or right brain perspective, you know? So I think it's interesting that you said that. It's true though. They're like, it's weird that they're like, nope, it has to be done like this. Doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter. So your granddad was good at it as well.
Yes. He built an airplane though. So he's a smart guy.
Oh yeah. Well, you're smart. She's so smart. You come from like a really smart long line of people. That's really cool.
Yeah, he's the one that taught me how to change my tire, how to change my oil, how to do all those things. Like he was like a genius a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, R.I.P. Grandpa Rich.
Okay. Aww.
So what about you? Tell us about your favorite subject.
Well, it was the one that I took on in college, which is like, we discussed this before. I think it was the time that I had bad sound though. College is different to you guys. We do this like little 2-year thing before we then go to university. So I took that. I wanted to do human biology, but biology was always my favorite. But I had such a fucking, well, all my teachers were jackasses, but I had such a bitch of a teacher for biology. So it made me like fucking hate my life. But I that would be my favorite. I did enjoy history too, but now I know that it's his story, not history. But yeah, biology I just love because it's, I was good at it. The only thing that used to frustrate me is which is why I wanted to do human biology, is that we always learn about plants, which I honestly think is the reason why I absolutely do not ever want to be vegan, because I could not bear another class on photosynthesis. If I had to listen to any, like, why are we learning about this? Why can't I learn about super cool shit? Like, I don't know, pissing and, you know, all the cool stuff that the body does. But yeah, biology, definitely my favorite. And I think, do you know, I actually do think that I would have been a nurse, but my mum was always like, I don't want you to be a nurse, because she was a nurse and she loved nursing, but she hated the politics of nursing and how the management got involved and how everything started to change from having like bedside manner to ignoring patients and doing notes and keeping to times on notes and things. And even now, she said recently, and I didn't even know this, you can get a nursing qualification with absolutely no practical whatsoever.
That's
which
crazy.
scares the shit out of me, because I'm like, I would not want someone working on me who's never worked on a person before. But yeah, my mum used to say how, like, when she was a nurse, she used to just, for a lot of the time that she was learning, she would just clean out bedpans all day, and like just look after the elderly. But it's that approach, like, is gonna help people be more empathetic and more like, I just can't believe that you can do a qualification with no practical. But yeah, I think I would have been a nurse, but I think that she kind of steered me away from that and said that she wouldn't want that for me. And I do appreciate that.
She brought the realistic side that you probably weren't aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was a children's nurse as well for like 40 years, nearly 37 years, I think. Oh, wow. It was. Yeah. And she was a sister. So she was pretty like really well respected, to be fair. And a really good nurse, like super, super good. So yeah, for me, biology would be the subject. I mean, history I enjoyed because it's just cool to learn about the past. But obviously now, as we both know and many who are listening know, it's not really all the truth. But at least we can see that we are repeating the history that we did learn. So that's one thing to look at it like that. If we did learn, so this is just something, one more thing. I was like thinking the other day, we have a serious problem, because I watched one video about how a student in a classroom said that there was a Trump flag and they want the Trump flag out of the room. And the substitute teacher went over to the flag, picked it up and showed it to the camera, and it was an American flag. But a child thought it was a Trump flag. A child thought the American flag was a Trump flag.
That's not surprising.
It's sad. And then I'm pretty sure I was watching a story the other day from some guy who was showing some excerpts from the Bible, and someone responded to him and said, "What book is this?"
Somewhat from the Bible? Oh, they didn't know,
like,
the Bible?
Just some passages.
Huh.
Yeah, like some passages, you can see at the top, it'll say like Matthew and then the verse or whatever. And you can tell the Bible, how the Bible looks. And he just responded, quite a young guy, saying, what book is this? And I was just like, holy shit, is this where we are? Is this where education has gone?
Yeah. So, they're removing a lot of history right now. And I think I wish people understood like the good and the bad history is necessary to learn from. Otherwise we're doomed to repeat it. I thought that was like, that's one of the first things you learn. And yeah, I think that I've learned more history in the last 2 years than in my entire life. I was kind of lucky because my parents had me read alternative history books when I was young. They always had me doing at home education, even though I was in school. They had me do extra education. Like they would teach me all kinds of stuff. They had me read George Orwell when I was very young, like 11.
Wow.
And they wanted me to write little reports about it. And like, yeah, so I read Animal Farm in 1984 and I went through a Holocaust phase. So
how did you turn out to be quite left-leaning for quite a while?
Well, I don't think associated the difference between, like, for me, it was, my heart is liberal and that's never changed. So I think that I never like signed up for the Democratic Party. I never voted until Tulsi Gabbard and then Donald Trump. So for me, it was like, I didn't get political. I just knew that like, I cared a lot about the same things that happened to be talked about on the left. And then later I found out that they were just full of shit and they didn't really care about those things at all. They were using them. So I kind of associated that, I figured that I was left. I don't know when I got around to be one that demonized the right. I think it was just the propaganda gets to you, you know?
Yeah, it gives me like a much more like rounded idea of everything with you, of like you now, like in a good way. Because I was just like, oh, see, because I was pretty much like, I suppose I would say that I'm kind of similar. I don't know. But I kind of thought you went from like really left and then came over, but you were probably over somewhere. I hate this.
You know what it is? I think it's good seeds were planted when I was a child and then from my parents. And it took later in life for those things to come back to my memory when I was in a real life situation, like in the last couple of years where I was, it was like those things showed to be very applicable later. So that's a really good thing just for people to understand, like seeds planted of little tidbits of knowledge. You never know when they're going to come back around and kind of like make sense to somebody.
And I wonder if you have to go through a little bit of a phase that's completely different to what those seeds are to allow those seeds to grow.
I read this book, like it's one of my favorite books, and it's actually through a Christian lens, even though I'm not Christian, but it's called The Stages of Faith, I believe. And it's by a psychologist or what's the ones that, anyway. It's by I can't remember, but I'll link it below if it is a theologian. I don't remember, but they talk about the stages of faith and development, and it's more about just human development. And oh, where was I going to go with this? What did you just say?
With like, you have to go through. Oh, you have to go through to those seeds.
They talk about it, and it's such a good book. They talk about how you have to, like, you get brought up in a certain level of faith. It could be religion, it could be political, whatever your parents give you in life, and then it's healthy and natural for you to go in through a phase of rejecting that and rejecting all the symbols, and that's a normal phase of developing as a human being. And if you grow up without religion, maybe your phase of that development will be accepting and embracing religion for a time. And it's not just about religion. It's just basically whatever you're raised with, you have to reject that worldview for a while. And then as you grow up, one of the phases into the next phase of maturity, which there's 5 stages, and most people make it to 3 or 4 in their whole life. Like, and you can kind of read the book and see where you are. You'll maybe never get to 5. You don't have to, because that's like Gandhi and Jesus. And you know what I mean? That's like people who are willing to completely give their life up for the greater good of humanity. But it talks about then you re-embrace the thing as you mature, where you reintroduce those symbols whatever they were, but they have a new meaning to you because you've questioned mm-hmm. them to the point where it all comes full circle. And it's not just something you were told to believe. It's something that you understand fully and re-embrace. Anyway, it's a really good book. And the way that you said, like, you have to go through that phase, I firmly agree with that.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I really want to read that now.
It's it's really good. It's like a psychology book type. It's a little like, it's really interesting to read, but yes.
Yeah, I think I'd really enjoy it as well. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, should we go on to our main topic?
Let's do this. Okay. By the way, anyone listening, if you want to put your favorite school subject in the comments, please do, because I'd like to hear what it was.
And we'd love to read your comment if you had something you wanted us to share. Yeah,
please nobody say physics, because I'll just cry if someone says physics.
All right. Oh, wow. Not a loaded question at all. Kind of similar to the one we had a few days ago. What is the purpose of life?
Ooh, this is like a good follow-on from, this is part four, basically, of we've got part one, two, three with Gabe, and then this is part four.
It's kind of part four. Question. Well, can we handle this in 25 minutes, what the purpose of life is?
I think so, if we do the cliff notes.
What do you think? What comes to mind?
It's kind of cool because this fits in with the first subject, because I think it's like life is like a big school of learning, and it's funny because I always wondered whether they implemented school, like general school, with these subjects where they control the narrative and they control what's being taught to kids, whether they've done that to take you away and like redirect you from the fact that you come into this life into a bigger school, so that you don't think, oh, I can't do school twice, oh my gosh, this is so weird. And then, okay, this is completely, it's not separate, but tonight I've been through some stuff today and my mom was like, right, let me just get together, right? So she said, she was like, because I said, I feel like sometimes people don't like me because they see me as a threat. I don't know why they see me as a threat, but maybe a threat in terms of like, I'm really good at reading people. So they're like, maybe they don't want to be read. You know, like some people don't want to go to a psychic and some people don't want to hear those things. But I can read people really well. And I think that means they can't fake with me. And that pisses them off, or they see it as a threat. And she was like, yeah, and I think that might be the case in this situation. I won't go into it, but this situation. And I said, she said, you know what it's like, Ray? She said, it's just like school for you all over again. She's like, it's mirroring in your adult life. Like, you went through all of this at school. People didn't understand you. They thought you were this certain way. They didn't know you. They thought you were a threat. You were confident, outspoken, opinionated, and they didn't understand it. She's like, he's still going through it now. And that's why I just got like really excited, because I was like, we're having this conversation about the purpose of life, and I said it was like a big school, and then it's like all coming kind of together now. And I think also there'll be plenty of people in your life who I don't think ever really left school that we know, like they haven't progressed or grown since then either, so they'll still act like how they did back then, but just in adult bodies, or they manifest and project in certain ways. So yeah, it's probably the simplest way to put it. There's more obviously to life than that. We touched on it in the last pod about how we are experiencing life through this 3D vessel, and we can come and experience emotion and stroke a dog and touch leaves and garden and grow things and paint things and all that kind of thing. And maybe this is the only place in this life, I mean it depends on what life we're talking about, but in this life that we can do that, and maybe that's really exciting to us, and that's why we chose to come down here I mean, I can't think of any other reason, to be honest, other than that. Because they're like, oh, we all want to leave now. Can we go yet? But yeah, that, I mean, I kind of rambled well out there. There was a lot going on in that bit. But I would say it's just one big school. You never leave it. You're always learning a lesson. And another thing I was thinking about the other day, did your parents ever say to you, or even people would be like, when you were a kid, have you not learned your lesson? Like, why are you still doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was sat there thinking, we all talk about this in our community about learning lessons, and the same lesson's going to come up again if we don't learn it the first time. I'm like, we got that when we were kids. We're saying the same thing again, even now. But they would be like, did you not learn your lesson? And we're doing it now. Me and you, Ash, like, did we not learn our lesson? Like, why is it coming up again?
Yeah.
So that was something I was thinking about the other day. And I was just like, ah, this is weird. So this is such a cool conversation, man. Like, it's like the universe is talking to me. I love it so much. But yeah, okay. Let's move on to what you think the purpose of life is.
I don't know. I really don't. If I'm gonna like go off the cuff, I would say maybe it's different for everybody. Like, all I can speak to is myself and my journey. So if I think of my purpose, I feel like the purpose of life is to discover your purpose and then enact it. And that's why it's kind of like different for everyone, because everyone has a different purpose. Like, for me, I think that anyone who can find why they're here and what they believe they bring to the table in the best way that makes them feel the most who they are, and like they're actually fulfilling why they're here. And I don't know if I'm explaining it right. I feel like if you can find that, then you've found kind of like the secret. And
like a mission.
Like a mission. Yeah. And I think that we each have our own purpose. And I think the purpose is to discover it and then live it fully. And the quicker you learn it along the way, the more enjoyable your experience will be here. Not easier, but more fulfilling, because you'll understand why you're operating. Like, you're not just living to live. You're not just working to drink on the weekends, to sit in front of a TV for so many hours. Like, nothing wrong with those things. I do all of that. I'm just saying that if that's all you have, you know, and you're on your deathbed one day, you might have things that you missed out on. So for me, I feel like I found my purpose last year, a year and a half ago. And I know my purpose now. And it's like I was given the gift back from, like we talked about last time, like a home before being here. I felt like I found my home here on earth in my purpose, if that makes sense. So I think maybe it's just to find your purpose and to be it. And with that comes a lot of things. There's a lot of, because we're handed a lot of baggage in this life. We're born into situations. We have, you know, ancestral DNA issues and trauma. We have familial trauma. Like, you can't be a human on this earth without experiencing some sort of pain, heartbreak, trauma, and gaining some level of baggage, and becoming either a person who has shame or guilt or self-doubt, or has a problem loving themselves or loving others or trusting others. Or there's a million things that we pick up along the way since we're innocent children and we carry around. And I think a part of finding your purpose is also letting go of all of that baggage, like letting healing happen on every single one of those things that we picked up, and recognizing that those, and putting those things in their proper place of understanding what they are, but losing the attachment to them in a way that it's causing you trauma and changing the way you interact back with the world. So I think it like goes hand in hand. And the more that you do that work, which is, life is very faithful if you're willing to put in the work to continue to give you those challenges, like you at the gym, it's like that pain, that suffering is really helpful, and it's helping you grow and become stronger. Mm-hmm. So I think that the more that you do find and exist in your purpose, the more difficult situations you're probably going to have to deal with, but they're going to be with great reward, with great freedom, with great healing, with great, yeah. Does that make sense?
I love that. Yeah, of course it does. And I was just thinking, as you were talking about letting go, I was walking today, obviously, dog walking, and all the leaves are falling off the trees. It just made me think then for a minute, I was like, the trees still stand, they let go of all the leaves, and then they come back, and they're still just as magnificent. And every year they do that. So I wonder if, whether we need to like mimic that. And obviously we, I mean, we don't talk about, I don't know if we've mentioned this, probably not, but we do talk about the tree of life and the roots and all of that kind of thing into the earth. And so I think that's really important to think about every year when that happens. And so now every time I'm going to think about letting go, I'm going to think about leaves falling off the
trees. I will too. No, I love that. The seasons too is such an important thing, because one of my friends got married a couple years ago, and she asked me to read something, to write something. And I did this thing about seasons, and I talked about love. And the thing is, like, every season has a purpose. And in the winter is that time of like barrenness, and everything's stripped bare, and there's no greenery, and everything is dormant, but it's for a purpose. And that if we can recognize like the hard seasons in our life, and we all forget, but if we can recognize, oh, I'm in this season, it's not like attaching it to yourself or making it so personal, but understanding the landscape of, I've been here before. This is a cyclical thing that is natural. It's in nature. It's in, you know, like bears hibernate for the winter. There's a reason for this time. If we can look at that season and be like, oh, I'm dormant, so what should I do in this time? Go easy on myself. Don't overexert. Lay low. Use this time for rest. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, enjoy these cozy things. And then recognize when that season changes, that then it's time for another thing. It's just about being aware of yourself and your surroundings. And now I love that. When I look at the leaves, I'm gonna think that same thing, even though we don't really have seasons here in California, which is something I miss. Oh, we don't. It's kind of like summer.
Is it because it's too hot? Yeah.
We kind of have seasons, but it stays green all year. So it's like, you don't get snow or anything.
Literally love what you just said there. That's made me feel completely different. But when you are going through the winter season, make sure you take the vitamin D, guys. Just
100%
extra. But I was gonna say, like, you know how you were saying we have like a mission and a purpose, and I totally agree with that. But I also just want to say that, and most will already know this, we are programmed and stopped, I think, like they put in blockades to stop us from finding it. And so it sometimes takes a lot longer. Like, I was like, fuck, why did I not find this when I was younger? Why did I not understand this when I was younger? But what you come to realize is that there's all of these things in the way that stop you from finding that specific mission and purpose. And sometimes even to the point where you are, if I go back a few years, I'm kind of acting out my mission, but not to the full. Like, it's nearly there, but it's not quite there. And then I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm there, because it feels different. But back then I thought I was there. It's strange. But there are so many things that they put in our way because they don't want us to be, I don't think they want us to find our purpose and mission. I think they would be, like you said, happy to just sit in front of the TV, watch the things that they put on the TV, make us feel like we are just a speck of dust in the universe instead of the actual universe, which we are. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to know that. But I think if I was told that as a kid, everything would be different. Like, if I know that, I'll tell my kid that, and hopefully they will maybe find their mission a little bit sooner. But it's like, I don't know if I would have liked to have found it sooner, you know, divine timing, all for reasons, that we don't even recognize.
There's that too. There's like, the mathematical, the sacred mathematics part of it. And that's another thing like that I've realized is there is a rhythm and a pattern. Like I got into looking at the Fibonacci sequence in the last couple of years and sacred geometry and all of these things that there. Okay. So bringing back to like when I've done psychedelics there, I've seen that everything's connected very clearly. It's like a common theme for me. Like the tree is connected to the grass, connected to my body, is connected to the air. Everything is one. And the energy and the life flow through it is nonstop. Like you can't separate yourself from any part of this earth. And, and that's an understanding that really does change your perspective. And I think that there is a divine mathematical thing about timing. And I think that we do play a role and we get to choose to say yes. And we get to change our experience with creation, with this life, with eternity, based on our openness and our desire and our willingness to, I would say, okay, so being in flow, we get to either be in flow with the way things kind of flow and the rhythm of everything. And I think the hardest times in our life is when we're not in flow. And all that is we're resisting something. Like,
yes.
Like if like, I used to think about it as like being in the ocean, you know, and you're trying to go against the waves, it's going to be a really interesting experience. But the second that you just let yourself roll with the water, like you're finding all of a sudden, it's a more copacetic situation. So I love that. Yeah, that's the thing about timing. I think you're spot on with that. That some things needed to happen exactly when they did, you know.
So you said mathematics again, and like sacred mathematics, and then you said you said rhythm though, and I was like arithmetic.
Whoa, that's why. It has rhythm in it. Have you noticed our topics keep coming full circle, like from beginning to end?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. It's notes. Like we're in flow. We're in the flow of things. And I think you know when you are and when you aren't. And then I've seen certain people's lives. Have you ever seen people that are just in a constant state of resistance and you can just tell like their body is starting to show the signs of it and they could be young and just like unhealthy and all of these things. And mental issues that never go away. And I think part of this is people who get stuck.
Yeah, a lot of anxiety.
I've been stuck. Yeah. I've been in years of stuck. And I know that you have too, you know? And
I think a lot of anxiety comes from that as well. That whole, I know exactly what you're talking about, because forgiveness and letting go. The thing is, I think people get a little bit scared to let go because then they feel like they'll forget something or that specific thing that they've let go. So like, for example, if you're grieving really badly, letting go will help you heal. But in letting go, people think, well, if I let go, does that mean I'll never remember that person? And that's not the case at all. And there was one thing that used to help me in my grieving, and it was, the person that I'm grieving for, what would they want for me? Would they want me to resist or would they want me to let go and know that I'd still remember them? But either way, either side, either choice that I make, am I going to still remember them? Of course I am. And they would want me to let go and they would want me to be freer from that it just takes a stronghold over you. Like you can't, it's like a knot. It just doesn't. And there's that little cute meme that's like, sometimes holding on is worse than letting go, and it shows like the hands that are red from holding onto the rope so tight, and letting go is much more freeing. So yeah, like I totally get that, and working with like flowing through things and letting things flow through you. Like I was sounds so insane. I must sound so insane. I was walking today and I had some music on and I was doing like a little dance to it. And like, I was like, oh, okay, I could release some emotion now. And honestly, as soon as I started to do that, I just had goosebumps all over my body. And I was like, okay, that's real. that's probably emotion, that's probably leaving. Like, that's really cool.
That's so a like, I'm really just gonna dance a little bit more. Oh, I love that. I love that so much. I was stuck in a place a while, like a few months ago, and I reached out to a friend who's very like hippie type, spiritual type healer, the body connection to trauma. And she recommended Qigong. Is that what it's called? Qigong. I don't know, but basically it's this, she was like, oh, try this. And I had no idea what it was. And I found this woman on YouTube and it was all this energy stuff. It's called tonifying and it's all about energy. And this woman has you do these energy flow movements. So you're like jumping, making these short little jumps. And then there's one part where you're like kind of pounding out the energy, like all through your body, and you're getting circulation moving and all of this. And it changed everything. I was standing outside in the grass, which is probably good alone, barefoot, doing it in the sun. And like, I walked away like, whoa, it's like, I felt like something just unlocked, like built up harness energy. And I was like, that's crazy. Yeah. So I love what you're talking about. Like just motion sometimes totally will get you out of it.
Yeah. Like you mentioned with like the flow, you can literally use your body and it does help. And I think because it sounds so wild, people are like, oh, I don't really want to do that. But just try it. Like you just said that you did that and it really, really helped. And you might be like, how could that possibly help? Just try it. You know, like people will take supplements or medications to feel better. Like just try a little bit of dancing or just moving.
It comes right back to the thing we said in the beginning of the algorithms. Like I totally just saw like, when you feel like you're stuck in something, sometimes you just got to say, what is something I haven't thought to do right now? Like take yourself outside of your body and stand like a mile away and look at you and be like, look at your surroundings and look at the landscape and be like, what are you doing? What could you be doing different? Because a lot of times the stuckness we have, I'd say more often than not, is in our mind. It's not actually out in the world. It's just like our brain creates this place. Like I notice when I look at the news too much, I envision the entire world as this horrible place to live. And then when I go outside in my backyard, I'm like, it's a beautiful place. And there's birds and there's trees. Like what, it's all in my mind, you know? So it comes back to that breaking the algorithm and being like, I'm going to do something out of the normal right now, just for the hell of it. And what do you have to lose?
Exactly. And kids, children, always dancing. My niece is always dancing. She's always doing something. She loves to dance. It's like, we should just do what the kids are doing. Cause obviously it's a thing. It's definitely, you know, cause as the older we get, the more literally more tense we get, the more stressed we get. And I feel like you're saying about being stuck, that's like, people are just so tense all the time. And that's with meditation, some that I've done, you'll have done them too, Ashley, when they tell you, okay, relax your jaw and you think to yourself, I didn't even realize that I was clenching it. Like, that's what it feels like to be relaxed. What?
Or when you lay in a corpse pose in a yoga class and they're like, relax all these things. And you're like, oh, wow, I've been tense this whole time.
Yeah.
I love
it. I think all of that's energy, so much energy that we just need to release and let go of. But yeah, definitely. More dancing.
That was good. So do you want to wrap? I mean, it's,
we can wrap.
We're at about an hour. This was a really good episode. Like, honestly, it flowed really well.
The algorithm works.
We started off with some Palo Santo, and just for the audience, I'm going to light a little more.
Yay.
And we just did a little energy, happy clearing. It's a little less smoky than sage. And I hope everyone has a peaceful rest of the week. Sending love. What are your final thoughts?
Yeah, thank you for listening, guys. Like, I'm super happy that, I mean, even the fact that we're getting a little bit of feedback and people are listening. Someone did message me and say, I love that you chose dolphins as a fairy. And I was like, yes, he's such a sweetie. But he listens to us all the time. And I'm just so thankful. And grateful for you as well, Ashley. Like, I love talking to you, you know that. And I'm glad that we can do it every week.
Me too. Really glad, I look forward to this so much. I love you. And yes, I hope to hear from people and we'll share your feedback. All right. Have a good week.
See you soon.